Look at the time. Look at the time.
Look at the time. It is Hut and the Clock. It's Wednesday at noon, so it is Hut and the Clock, our very favorite time of the week. Caroline Willie, D. Mays, we're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow joins us now. Hutton, always appreciate our chats with you. A little bit of news coming out from the Titans just now. Christian Fulton has just been placed on IR. Going into this season, I thought this is such a critical year for Christian Fulton. Just prove that you can stay healthy. He hasn't been able to stay healthy all season long. Now out for at least the next four games. Hutton, doesn't it seem like it's pretty inevitable the Titans are moving on from Christian Fulton after this year when his contract is up at the end of the season?
Yeah, I get that. I get that sense. I got that sense of the preseason, quite frankly, Caroline. And it just because of the, you know, he was contemplating whether or not he wanted to be out there during some mandatory work, voluntary work, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. And he's just trying to send a message that he knows it's his final year. The agent is sending the message as well. And he's a guy that they directly mentioned, Vrabel specifically mentioned, along with David Long Jr. with the soft tissue injuries. And there was a point in the season, though, I thought Christian Fulton was trying to turn a corner. I thought he had a good camp when he came out and played. And there were a handful of games, a handful of weeks ago, where he played okay. You know, he was trying to be more consistent. And then there's the injuries again. It has plagued his career. It doesn't mean it will plague it moving forward. I just don't feel as though the Titans see value in a guy. If they didn't see value in a guy trying to find an extension mm-hmm. prior to his contract expiring, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to negotiate against others that would be bringing him in looking for something that fits more of his skill set and probably thinks they can do more with him than what the Titans did.
Repeat offenders, and he is one of them. The Titans did what I thought there was a likelihood of about 0.0001% chance of happening, and that is going to Miami and beating Miami, especially right. when you're down 14 with 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. What do you think you learned about the Titans on Monday night?
Well, I mean, we learned that let's go back a couple of weeks, guys. We learned that the Vrabel message is sticking within that locker room, and that's I think that it sounds, you know, okay, cliche, whatever. Look at their record. This is now back-to-back games, though, that have been crazy. And we led off last week's discussion saying the Titans did everything they could to win the game against Indy and then didn't. Bad teams find ways to lose games. And in this case, they found a way to win. And down 14, 3.5 to play. I mean, the Titans had 39 fourth quarter points all season entering the fourth quarter Monday night. And they scored more fourth quarter points in the game than they had in their previous four games combined. They scored 15 or more inside the fourth quarter for the first time since January 2nd of 2022. It's been a while. And I think also that there's a fire within Will Levis that you like to see. He needs to stay healthy. He needs to learn to slide, all of that. But I like the fact that they showed that they can be down a few scores. They can find ways to lose games after playing as well as they did against the NFL's top offense. And they did it through the Vrabel mentality. I like the fact that Vrabel was aggressive going for two after the first touchdown. All of that played into the old Vrabel way. And we have not seen that in a while. We saw it on Monday night.
We'll talk with Jonathan Hutton. Jonathan, I mean, again, we go back to this game and we look at it. And you know, everybody, I told the crew, listen, the tail of Vrabel gets bigger and bigger and bigger. It seems like it's going to be to sure. a point where, you know, they're going to be hearing about Vrabel every corner of the earth, you know, eventually. But I look at that game, and that game wasn't about Vrabel. It really wasn't. I think Vrabel's a good coach. It didn't change anything in regards to what I thought about him. Whether they lost that game or won that game, I still think he's a good coach. But sure. it did change for me a little bit how I saw Tim Kelly, because I believe the game ball should have went to Tim Kelly, because Tim Kelly did a masterful job at – not trying to chase plays, not getting overly excited. Now, the game wasn't perfect by any means. I understand that Titans tried to lose it at one point, but Miami basically said, no, we don't want it here. You can have the game. But what Tim Kelly did, even through all of that, he stayed within the framework of the offense. He still tried to run the football. Tajay Spears, I think that may have been his best game all season.
Yes.
And he will continue to get better. But I just think that Tim Kelly isn't getting enough of the credit. And I'm sure he doesn't care about it. But when you look at the big scope of things, this had nothing to do with Vrabel. I think it had everything to do with Tim Kelly and making sure he didn't allow his team or his offense or the quarterback to try to chase points or think they had to do more than what they had to.
Yeah, I mean, and they had the turnovers.
Yeah.
You know, which – and they got away with that. And you know, they gave up the points late in all of that. They had the pick six, the fumble by Levis. Look, going back to Tim Kelly, it should not be forgotten the Titans, they had that 69-yard drive in 28 seconds to get a field goal right before halftime. And on that drive, they targeted their guy. I like the fact that they target DeAndre. 26 targets for DeAndre Hopkins over the last 2 weeks. And he had two catches for 67 yards on that drive right before half. So they and also, Mace, you may recognize this much more than us. They I can't find the stat. But the Titans, when the Titans, they win and went empty formation, I felt like more than they had all season. And I think that benefits the arm of Will Levis. They're letting it fly. They're not abandoning the run game. They're using Spears as an extension of the run game through the pass, like on that screen that set up that drive at the end. But Henry had the lowest amount of yards we've seen him have with 17 or more carries. So it's they're not abandoning that aspect, but that was going nowhere. And here's the other aspect. While we're still waiting on Treylon Burks and whatever else is going on with that, Chigakonkwo, he's catching the ball. He had a season high 5 catches. He's gone over 40 yards in 3 consecutive games. He has 153 yards in the last 3. I like what I've seen in that as well. And again, it's a one game come from behind thriller late in the fourth quarter. It doesn't erase what we've seen, but I like the fact, I take away from the game that the team is still buying into what they're being sold. And that's a good thing considering all the change that we've seen last year and what we're going to see this year.
Yeah. And I think, and that's what I wanted to see from this team against Miami. Because listen, realistically, playoffs are basically out of the picture. A lot of things will have to happen for the Titans. They will have to win the remainder of their games and have to other teams will have to lose because they even lose tiebreakers in some situations. But I think this team and what I wanted to see was, what are guys playing for? Because you know you don't have the playoffs out there. Are you playing for your contract? Are you playing for the guy next? What are you playing for? I don't want to see guys loafing. I don't want to see guys, you know, not being in tune with the game. And I didn't see that this last game, which tells me, guys, even though the playoffs are far from happening, guys are finding things to play for, which is a good thing. Now, Treylon Burks, I am extremely, extremely disappointed. Not necessarily in Treylon Burks. I'm not. I mean, we've had people calling here. Yeah, we have people calling here and said he's trash. I'm like, no, unless you play that position, and I mean this, unless you play that position, you can't tell me a guy's trash when you're not even targeting the guy. I'm watching film of whatever they put out, and it's like you're running clear-out routes. How are you going to have your first-round draft pick?
What does that mean, Mace? You pointed that out. What does that mean?
It means he's not a part of the offense. Like, decoy. Basically a decoy. If you're open, wide open, we'll throw it to you. But other than that, we're going to throw it to anybody else but you. You are the guy that's going to clear everything out because you're the biggest, you're the strongest, and you're the fastest. And they got to honor that. But we're going to give it to everybody else underneath. And to me, they got to find a way to get this young man in the game. I'm not going to say anything bad about Treylon Burks anymore until they find a way to get him in the game to prove me to me he's not worthy to be a guy that they can depend on.
I agree that he needs some targets. Let me play devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. Chris Moore finds a way to get himself in the game. They're still going to Chigakonkwo. They're going to the running back out of the backfield. They're targeting their veteran, DeAndre Hopkins, who continues to make plays. And if he reaches 1,000 yards, it's going to be something we haven't seen in a while since A.J. Brown. And prior to that, Kendall Wright had 1,000 yards in 2013. Mm-hmm. It's just the second wide receiver to do so since 2013, if he reaches 1,000. Let's see. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine nearly had a touchdown, had the two-point conversion. I mean, they're spreading the ball around. Where the hell is Treylon Burks in all of this? Like, at some, he's got to get himself in the game, doesn't he? I mean, he's got a rookie quarterback. He's throwing it, and he's spinning it, and he's spraying the football all over the field. Mm-hmm. If Burks is on the field, surely he gets more targets than just being ignored.
No, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can understand what you're saying, but there's only one football. See, this is why, you know, when receivers do certain things, I don't mind. You know, you say receivers are divas. They are. Why? Because there's only one football. And on a pass play, you may not get that football, and you may be wide open, but because the play is not geared towards you, you're not going to get it. To me, they need to make a effort, like a concerted effort. I don't want to listen to Vrabel anymore get on the podium and say, well, we threw him a quick screen and, you know, we tried to get him the deep ball. He was running hard. He's playing hard. You know, we just, well, if he's running hard, he's playing hard, he's doing blocking the things that you're asking, blocking well, then honor the dude. Make it a priority. Make it a damn priority to get this man the ball so you can understand going into the draft what we need and what we don't need. At this point, I don't know if they need another receiver beside D-Hop or not, because they're not giving him an opportunity. I've seen it before. I've been a part of it before. And if you don't get this man, you know, into the game, he's going to lose all confidence. Like, he's going to continue to play hard, but it's like, man, I'm doing all of this, but y'all are not rewarding me for it. You're saying all these good things, but you're not rewarding me for it.
At what point do you speak up if you're Treylon Burks?
And that's the conversation that we had yesterday. He's not – the bad part about it is
– he's not that guy.
He's not – yeah, he doesn't have that. I don't think that's his mentality. I would have went in there and be like, you need to give me the damn ball. Like, I would have went to the coaches. Y'all need to give me the ball. Like, seriously. But he's not in a position to do that. One, because he's a young guy still. Two, you don't want to ruffle any feathers because D-Hop is there, and you don't want to seem like, you know, you're being selfish when, in fact, you're not being selfish. You just want to be involved. That's how they get away with it. Oh, you're selfish. No, I'm not selfish. I want to be involved. That's all. So yeah. He just doesn't have the skins on the wall, let's say, to go
well,
in there
okay.
and say, I just need the ball.
Just real quick, though, and some will hate this comparison. Some will be like, you're dead on. A.J. Brown didn't have the skins on the wall. Mm-hmm. He just went up and took it and demanded it behind the scenes. And then publicly, too, whenever he would have a bad game, he would follow it up with a good game. And he would be the alpha, and he would show up week to week. Like, he's always
but that's
going
his
to be
personality.
To that guy.
That's A.J.'s personality. That was my personality. That's not Treylon Burks' personality to go and say, I want the football. That's not his personality. He's not going to, at least that's what I believe is not his personality.
D-Hop's not that way either. He's not vocal publicly, but he shows up and produces and has done so as a first round pick. Same Burks is the same in the same boat there. Again, I don't know what he has or has not said behind the scenes, but I do know if a receiver's pissed off, look around the league this year. Anytime someone says, I want the damn ball, they get it. CeeDee Lamb's the most recent example, and he's gone off for three consecutive weeks after he did that midway through the season. Again, there are the haves and the have-nots at the position, and, I mean, the Titans are dying to have, at best, a number two guy. It didn't have to be number one. Hopkins is that guy. First and foremost, he's got to be on the field. He's on the field now, and I'm with you. He's got to get more targets than what we're seeing. But I don't know if it's the fact that he's just in the doghouse and they're refusing to throw him the football, because I think Will Levis will spin it to him if he's open.
Hutton, hate that we have to cut our visit short this week. We do have to get to Mike Vrabel's press conference, but appreciate your time nonetheless, and we'll chat next week. We'll make up for lost time next week.
No, it's all good. I look forward to listening. I was listening earlier. Love the show, guys, and have a great rest of the week.
Appreciate it, Hutton. You too. All right, we'll send it over to St. Thomas Sports Park. Mike Vrabel is addressing the media now.
you know, make sure that you know, they're tied for first in explosive pass play. So that's a huge challenge. I think that the guys that are rushing obviously play a part in that as well. You know, you can't just sit there in one coverage. Show them the look. They do a nice job mixing in, you know, the play action game, you know, and being able to move the quarterback in different spots. And he does a nice job keeping his eyes, you know, downfield and stepping up. So when they've been able to protect them in that first and second down, those first and second down windows, you know, they've been able to find spaces and different concepts that they work.
You guys preach move on, you know, 24-hour mm-hmm. rule, that sort of thing. But after such an emotional win, how do you get everybody's feet kind of back on the ground and prepared for this week?
You know, I think that's all, you know, just trying to bring them in here a little bit later today and, excuse me, you know, touch on the game briefly. But then, like you said, turn the page and, you know, be excited about the opportunity to get back home, to be in the division. You know, and just try to build off of all the good things that we did and start our preparation and understand that, you know, just 1 week, and it was a big week for us. But, you know, there's another challenge ahead of us this week in the division. We got to get a win in the division.
What's the balance like, Mike, in trying to, you know, get some speed in, get some work in practice, but also not try to overdo it coming on a short week?
Yeah, late in the season, you know, Jimmy, I think that just being able to find the details and execution and game plan, you know, it'll be a different scheme that we're preparing for. So, you know, trying to get as many different looks at that as we can with the plays. And so it'll be a good challenge. We'll probably, you know, try to ramp up as the week goes on. There won't be much today. Just from where we're at from a, you know, health standpoint and a recovery and, you know, being mid-December.
You talked about the plan going into the last one for Brunskill. With four left, is there any concern that one of your key guys up front kind of worn down?
No. I mean, I think that's just part of this league. And, you know, give Brunny a lot of credit for battling and continue to push, just like, you know, a lot of other guys that we have that, you know, it's a long season that have been out there every week and that have been trying to play hard. And you saw Daniel, you know, out in front of some of those screens that were, you know, huge for us late in the game. And, you know, did a nice job a couple of times with Dylan passing off games and being able to build a pocket. So, you know, I know Brunny, you know, is going to, you know, continue to prepare and battle and be ready to go on Sunday.
From your perspective, how have you seen that relationship between Will Levis and DeAndre Hopkins? How has that evolved?
Yeah, I think that there's just, you know, that relationship is critical. You know, I think between a veteran wide receiver and a young quarterback, it's, you know, Hop's played with a lot of quarterbacks, and they all talk different, they throw it different, and, you know, ultimately that you have to be on the same page. And you can see that, you know, whether it was, you know, a situation a couple weeks ago of, hey, I thought he was doing this, I thought he was doing that, to some of the other examples that of being on the same page and having a lot of trust in him and being able to put the ball in places where Hop can make it. And so I think that's grown, and they continue to build that.
Do you think a league might be being a little harsh with things like signing a guy $13,000 for a gesture that nobody even really seemed to notice during the course of a game and stuff like that? It seems to be on the rise.
I mean, that's the, you know, that's how they, you know, again, want to try to police some of those things and have accountability for actions that happen during the game, whether they're seen by us as coaches or by our fans. You know, player and everybody has a right to appeal those. You know, that's kind of what it is. It's just try to continue to do things that don't hurt the team and lead to penalties.
You prefer when it results in a fine as opposed to a penalty?
I don't have a preference.
I guess lost in some of the shuffle from Miami. Tyler made his debut on Sunday. Did you get a chance to watch that game at all? And I mean, just how crazy of an experience was that this weekend?
It was great. You know, I'm happy for him that he prepared. I tell him same thing I tell our guys that, you know, you're one play away once you get activated. And I know he's been working extremely hard. And, you know, I don't know where it goes from here, but, you know, went in and got to see a couple plays before we took off.
Any critique of the tape?
No, I'm not. That's not for me to critique. I I'm happy that he got an opportunity.
You hate to lose Kyle, but you got, I guess, Coburn and Bohan in. What do you know about those guys, and what will their kind of role be?
Yeah, guys that we've watched, you know, throughout the course of the year, and you know, look to add some young players at this point in time, and you know, both interior defensive linemen that can give us, you know, have played. You know, Q has been active 3 games, and you know, has played, you know, probably 25 plays a game in 3 games, and so, you know, big body, you know, looked like he played with decent pad level, and you know, excited to work with him and Keandre.
Christian, was there a setback of any kind that landed him on IR, or was it just kind of processing through the original injury and figuring out when he could go?
Yeah, it was just an original injury.
How disappointed are you for him that it's season ending and, you know, maybe even ending his time here?
Well, I don't know about any of that other than just disappointed that, you know, he won't be able to be with us or help us, and, you know, just unfortunate. And, you know, I want everybody that's here that, you know, want him to be healthy and want him to play and want him to help us. And, like, that's my hope. And, you know, I know he's disappointed, and we're disappointed for him, just like Pekka. You know what I mean? These guys put a lot into it, and they play hard. And it's unfortunate when, you know, I know that they're not looking for a way out. Like, neither of those guys are looking for a way out. They got injured, and you know, got to create a roster spot. And so, you know, I don't, even if we didn't need the spot, neither of those guys would have been back anytime soon.
With Traylon Burks, now that he's healthy, I saw you try to get him involved early last week, but I mean, is there something that could be done to get him just more in the flow of the game?
Yeah, I mean, it's just sometimes that the ball, got to be able to find you. I mean, he was running. I mean, he created Hop's explosive game there at the end. I mean, he's rolling through there, and, you know, if they come off of him and they take Hop, then, you know, I know that Will's going to let that ball go. And so, you know, I think there's some of those things that don't lead to catches, but that are still making the play. You know, it's like defensive linemen. You can make the play without making a tackle. And, you know, I know that doesn't sound great for a receiver, but, you know, a big guy that's rolling through, you know, the middle of the field, that's taking coverage with them, that's creating, you know, Hop, who is our most targeted player, you know, allow him to be wide open. That's a you know, big, you know, factor in why that play was successful.
Do you use those when you talk to them?
Yeah, we showed a team, we show everybody, you know. And so, you know, the ball is going to find him, and, you know, it's going to continue to work, and he's going to continue to, you know, we hit some screens, you know what I mean? We had, you know, so it wasn't like, you know, there was a ton of ops, you know what I mean? We created some things on third down to just, you know, like the matchup with Tajay and where we were, and, you know, being able to get the ball in some of those screens that created those X plays. And, you know, I'm confident that those opportunities will, you know, continue to come as he works and is back out there.
In 46 snaps, like, what kind of balance between clear out routes and blocking for screens?
No, those aren't clear outs or screens. I'm just saying we called the screen. Like, we're not, you know what I mean? Like, we're not just going to call plays for, you know, it doesn't work that way. Like, hey, we're just going to turn, raise up, and throw it to Traylon. And the clear out, you know, we've had many, many routes, and it's not a clear out. You know what I mean? It's being able to read the post safety or the quarter safety, and if they, stay high, well, then we're not going to throw, you know, to the guy that's taking two guys, you know, through the post. So I don't want you to think that we're just sending them on, you know, maybe we try to go up, you know, take a matchup on third down and long, and, you know, wasn't able to come down with it. But we're going to take chances. We know the skill set that he has, and he's going to help us, and we'll go from there.
I understand you're not going to, like, force things to him, but over the course of a game, most good receivers in 46 snaps find some targets or find more targets generally, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to continue to target. You know, if it's a two-man concept, then, you know, he's in the game. The quarterback's going to read it out. You know, he's working hard, and he's going to be out there, and confident that we'll, you know, he'll help us.
How well do you know D'Amico, Ryans, and, you know, what style play maybe is similar to how you see it as a defensive coach as well?
I know him, I think, well. I know, you know, who he is. I know what he believes in. I know the type of teammate that he was and the type of leader that he was as a player. You know, we've spoken at different points in time in my, you know, coaching career and in his now, you know, very good coaching career. You know, they're sound, they play fast, they're physical, they attack, and you know, it'll be a, you know, great challenge to be able to block, you know, not only the front, but the linebackers that run and flow fast. They got good safeties, good tacklers, and you know, they have a very good special teams unit, obviously. And, you know, we know how well the offense has been playing.
How has Treylon done with kind of that concept that you said, right? Every receiver wants to catch the ball and just embracing the idea of, I can make a play without the ball coming my direction.
I think he has. You know, I mean, and again, it's our job to show him those things. And, you know, then when you get opportunities, you got to, you know, make the most of his opportunities. I mean, the quarterback decides where he wants to throw the ball. You know, threw a slant to Hop. I wish he'd have come over here and thrown it to the other side. And that's, you know, kind of how it goes. But, you know, all in all, just we have to be more efficient, have less self-inflicted wounds. You could see when we get into the rhythm of drives and the flow of drives, you know, we do much better. And the better that we can run the football, the better that we can, you know, create opportunities in a play-action pass game, which then now allows for those receivers to work the different concepts and have success down the field.
These games always meant more to Amy's dad. Is there any sense with the uniform and the move and all of that there's specialness to the rivalry with them?
Well, I mean, there's the division game. I think it's a unique situation, you know, having been from where we, you know, came from and how we ended up here. And, you know, the uniforms will be, you know, a nice, you know, touch to that and everything else. But this is about, you know, our guys preparing for the Texans. And you know, we've had some great matchups, you know, since I've been here, tough games, physical games, division games. So, yeah, there's a lot that is around that, Paul, I think. But most importantly, it's about, you know, trying to get a win in the division.
You hit it that you call him Mario Bumps Phillips style cowboy hat on Sunday.
I don't know. I probably got caught up in the moment.
You're in favor.
You voted. How about I just wear one to the game?
Will you then?
I'll wear one to the game on that little walk-up where Teron takes all the pictures.
You already have one picked out?
No, I don't. No. I need
shopping
one.
Spree? Who's not practicing? Please.
Raider won't be practicing. Phillips won't be practicing. Tart won't be practicing. Simmons won't be practicing. Wiley won't be practicing. Gifford won't be practicing. Or Gibbons. Dr. Gibby won't be practicing. Gifford will be out there. That should do it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, there you go. That was Mike Vrabel. We'll hear from Mike Will Levis, not Mike Levis. Will Levis coming up next. Caroline Willie, D. Mays. We are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline Willie, D. Mays. Will Levis is up at the podium, so we'll send it over to him now.
You lowered the show? Yeah, we exchanged some words. I don't remember exactly what was said, though.
Showed you tape of, I guess, ways to slide. Hint, or kid with you about showing you tape of quarterbacks that have gotten hit in those situations.
Yeah, when we were going through the film yesterday, he popped in and said that, and the cut up this week will probably look a lot different than it did last week.
Did you watch Hard Knocks last night?
I didn't. Did it air? I didn't even know. I didn't know that they turned it around that fast. I'll have to watch it sometime this week.
You got the angry run scepter thing on NFL Network. So, one, I bet you never really thought you'd get that. And two, Kyle Brandt wants to know what kind of pre-workout you're doing to get amped up like that on the sideline.
I haven't taken pre-workout in a while, probably since college max day in the weight room. But, no, just juice, just from the inside. But, no, they do a great job with that. Kyle's great, and I'm proud to have received the award.
How much do you think that juice is a carryover quality that's healthy for the team, especially we saw it most vividly when you came off the sideline after the second touchdown.
Yeah.
What are you feeling there and what's it mean to the team?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think, like, you know, as a quarterback, as a competitor, as a leader, you hear about staying calm, cool, and collected. And there's definitely some, you know, something to be said about that. And I feel like I keep myself that way a lot. But when there is those times that you are able to, you know, show your emotions, and you know this is an emotional game, and you can't have it bottled up all the time. You know, just be yourself out there and show those emotions and wear your heart on your sleeve sometimes, and just sometimes that's just can bring other guys up with you. So it's just knowing when to use it and being authentic with it.
I think that's why it's so interesting that you can balance the two. So just take me into the mind of Will Levis when you're able to have those emotions after a good play or a bad play, and then you can immediately switch it to business mode on the field. Like, is that something you were kind of wired with, or how did that come about?
Yeah, I think when I was younger, I wasn't really able to control it. So just throughout my career, like being able to just mature and get better in that way and not let, you know, those things carry on and affect the plays you have in the future. So, I mean, a lot of the times, you know, I won't do anything. Sometimes I will, you know, acknowledge a little thing here and there, even just in the midst of a drive, but it's important just to, you know, just reset and get back to that next play. Like, even with Tim, we're talking, like, we had that procedure penalty and he's going crazy on the sideline and fired up, but, you know, get it out of your system, move on, and just play the next play. And I feel like we did a good job of that, you know, on Monday, being able to just put all the, you know, bad stuff we did in the first half behind us and get the win.
Quarterbacks' plays in their career are often defined by their ability to succeed or not succeed in the 2-minute drill. How much do you enjoy the 2-minute drill, and how much, you know, responsibility, you know, goes into that and everything being placed on your shoulders to come through in those situations?
For sure. I mean, those are the, you know, high pressure, you know, pressure cooker situations where, you know, it doesn't matter what you did up until that point in the game. If you're not able to get it done in that moment, then it doesn't matter. So, you know, I feel like we've done a great job of that going back to camp. And even, you know, with the reps that I got back then with the twos or threes or whatever it was, gaining confidence through the reps I got there. And then with the opportunities we've got so far in the 2-minute drives we've had, I've been proud of how we've operated. So got to keep doing it, finding ways to, you know, switch it up and give them different looks and just continue to put points on the board in those situations.
Who were your favorite guys to watch operate the 2-minute when you were growing up?
I mean, I got to go to Tom. I mean, there's a lot of instances of, you know, where I was a fan of them. So thinking that they were down and out at the end of a game, and even like I'd mentioned yesterday, but when I was out with these kids, like a lot of them were in bed, you know, and then they wake up the next morning and they're like, dang, like we got the win. And I remember that vividly with a couple times with Tom and just being like, dang, how did he pull that off? So being able to be poised and just taking a profit and chunking down the field and not being, you know, too aggressive, he did it better than anybody.
That relationship that you and Hopkins have, how has that evolved over time, like from when you first got the starting job until now?
Yeah, I think it's evolved in what he's expected out of me, and then in turn just what I can expect out of him. And when I first started playing, it was very black and white. I think like he's a guy when you do have or when he has developed a chemistry with his quarterback that he's able to do things that puts himself in a better position to succeed. But it can be a little different, and that could scare like a rookie quarterback. So that's something I'm just working through with him and understanding the different kind of variations that could happen with the different routes he's running. We saw it a couple times on Monday, being able to just recognize it and just stay with him and trust him and taking it. And then continuing to understand, you know, how we're seeing coverages. Like there was a third down the other night where, sure, he might have been the last read in the coverage, but I got to really know, like, it's this coverage. If this player does this, I can move on and I can find him earlier and get us a first down opposed to, you know, checking it down and punting it away. So getting better there. He's going to keep pushing me, and he's been a great, you know, role model and teammate for me.
And that's the thing he told me, like, initially he gave you some leeway, but now it's at the point where it's like, not taking any shorts. So how has that kind of like pushed you to elevate your game, or has it done so?
Yeah, no, I mean, it just pushes me to, you know, just be better and prepare and take it to the next level, because, you know, there's no more rookie mistakes, no more free passes for any of that. Across the board, you know, we got a lot of young guys that are playing, but we've had enough reps and enough snaps at this point where we can't let any of that fly. And we know it, you know, sometimes that does happen, but it's time for us to take our game to the next level, and that's what we need to do.
The touchdown pass to him, was that actually a no-look pass?
I think I just saw him last second. I wasn't looking when I threw it, but I just kind of realized last second. But it was a good adjustment by him and be able to just kind of settle in that zone. But it was good feel because I could feel where he was going to be, and we were able to connect on it.
Well, what did you learn from the final drive in Pittsburgh, maybe specifically that last throw? And did it help you on Monday night?
The situation was a little different, and just with the time on the clock, and I was definitely I wouldn't have been as aggressive on that throw if I had like the minute or a little less than 2 minutes like I did on Monday night. But I think if anything, it was just taking a profit, taking what they give you, and not forcing anything. And I thought we did a good job of that, of, you know, what they got underneath it and taking it down to Tajay and letting him run. But that's what I was most proud of, was I wasn't necessarily trying to force anything, even though I knew we had to get some chunks.
Well, how do you go about dissecting a win like that and trying to, as Vrabel said, build off the good and replicate that and then kind of scrap and learn from the bad plays?
Yeah, it's good and bad all throughout the film. You can't value one more than the other. Just like, you know, we're taking the bad and we're trying to correct it. We're trying to use the good to give us confidence to go into this next week, to let us know that, you know, we can do it versus, you know, this type of team. We can do it against anybody. So a lot of good stuff that we saw, you know, today in the tape that got all of us fired up and was cool to see. But it's just important for us to use that to motivate us to work even harder to get the win again this week.
There was a funny moment, I guess, after the game where Tajay was next to you trying to get your attention post-game. What do you remember about that, and what's it been like kind of growing your relationship with him as you guys start your careers together?
Yeah, I've been in that. I don't know who else has been in that situation, but I it's weird. Like, I didn't feel it. Like, it took, like, a few taps for me to finally feel it. But, I mean, he was a guy throughout that whole game who was right next to me throughout all of it, instilling confidence in me and knew that, you know, we were going to go down and make it happen even after that, you know, that fumble. So, you know, his positivity, his work ethic, I think really underrated thing about him and how we played the end of that game was his conditioning. I think that those two-minute drives, he looked like the, you know, most well-oiled player out on that field, I think, while some other guys in the defense were dragging around. For him to be able to get the ball in space and get those checkdowns and that screens, a few catches there in huge situations and getting out of bounds and sprinting, that's the type of worker he is, and he's a special player, and we're very grateful to have him.
I'm sure you've got it fixed on your phone, Will, but are you completely used to seeing your name auto-corrected on stuff?
It's pretty annoying, yeah. Hey. They got a heck of a company. I'm a big fan of their jeans. So I mean, if there's anything there, I'm all ears.
Well, have you seen the meme, that kind of photoshopped image of you? Do you know who made that? That some of the guys were sharing.
Oh yeah, no, I don't know who made it. It was pretty funny though. But yeah, that's funny. I saw that all over. But yeah, I think we all got a kick out of that. Thank you guys.
All right, there you go. That was Titans quarterback Will Levis. We'll react to what he had to say coming up next. Plus, what Mike Vrabel had to say about Treylon Burks and his usage. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.